Open our Bibles, and I hope you'll stand with me as we look to the scripture. The first passage I'm going to read is what I read to you this morning, and it's from Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 18. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Praise God. Then I want to read to you from Joshua, first chapter. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant, and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. So a reaffirmation of God's commitment to getting his people where he wants them, and he, no matter how long it takes, he will get us where he wants us. Amen? So, Father, thank you for truth. Thank you for revelation that brings us transformation. Help us open our hearts so you can plant good seed in our soil. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our promised land is not what Israel was looking to enter. Our promised land is the promise of God. That's our promised land. I don't know what you're believing for or how you're tracking with this. This is kind of a part two to this morning's template that I gave you. I'm very grateful because in that early service, I watched two people I've worked with make full commitments to Jesus, and that's one of the most enjoyable moments you can ever have. Amen? But getting back to this second part of what I want to share with you, hope turns a crisis into a turning point. And that's always what God wants to do, even in the crisis that we're facing today in our region. And perhaps you're looking for some kind of advancement at work. That's your promised land. Or you want your marriage to get back on the rails. That's your promised land. You need healing in your body. That's your promised land. Whatever it is that you're believing God for, God wants you out of the wilderness. He wants you in the fulfillment of everything he promised. You can cross the river of doubt and unbelief and go on into the promises of God. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. I could say it another way. It already is. God's already taken care of this. He's gone before us. In other words, there are some things in your life that have already died. They need to be behind you. Leave them. Go on into the promises of God and quit living back where Moses died. Go into the promises and just know God made you a promise and it already is. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. God said, I've been with Moses. I have anointed and used him. I'm going to be with you, Joshua. I will also be with you the same way I was with him. So he said, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. God said, be strong in him. Be strong in his word. Know he's going to give you everything he promised you. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So we're looking at the understanding that when we step into any kind of trouble or crisis, it is a pivot point. It becomes a turning point to take off in the direction where God wants us to go. There's no question that life can be very difficult at times and filled with trouble. There's no question that life in moments can take a funny turn. You can have your life all planned out, and all of a sudden, everything gets turned upside down. People you love, people you think would never walk away, walk away. People will leave you, and you never thought in a million years that could happen. Family can lose their minds and do things you never thought they'd ever do. You can have finances all planned out and something happens and the rug gets pulled right out from underneath you, right? The bottom falls out. All of a sudden, you find yourself in a crisis. The stock market, you know, you had everything planned in your 401k and you were looking to put some funds and some higher risk principles to see if you could get a better return. You were on a path and all of a sudden, what was once worth this is now worth 10 cents on the dollar. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? What happens when you're caught in a crisis or trouble and you recognize, man, this is just a mess? What do you do when life leaves you devastated? What do you do when your dreams seem to vanish and evaporate right before your eyes? You need to stop and remind yourself, wait a minute, I've been in the wilderness, but I'm on my way to the promises of God. I am on my way. This is going to turn. Come on, this is going to turn. How many believe it will? So what do you do when your children have disappointed you? What do you do when your home has been burned to the ground? What do you do when you're in despair and you're traveling along Heartbreak Highway? You have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You can't turn to the left. You can't turn to the right. That's what God was telling Joshua. You have to keep your eyes on Him and keep walking with Him. And anytime you fall into sin, you can bet trouble's going to have an impact in your life. Some of your disappointments, make no mistake, some of your disappointments are the result of personal sin. Some disappointments just take us totally by surprise. They came out of nowhere. Adam and Eve had everything. They had authority over every living creature. But in their foolishness, they lost everything they had when they disobeyed the Lord. Moses disobeyed God. God said, go to the rock and speak to the rock, and I'm going to bring water out of that rock, and I'll be sure that my people have plenty to drink out here in the wilderness. What did Moses do? He was angry at the people, frustrated over some of the things they were doing and saying, and he allowed his temper to boil over in him, and he struck the rock in his anger, and God said, I'm not going to let you into the promised land because you did not do what I told you. What has God told you to do that you haven't done? Thought it would get quiet. Now, what has God told you to do that you haven't done? That's why you haven't acquired the promise yet. God has already told people to do specific things, and all we have to do is obey Him, to do what He commands us. Obedience heads you toward your promised land. Every time. You can't live your life any way you want to live and expect God is just going to wink at you and go, well, isn't that cute? No, He's going to love you, but He can't bless you. Okay? He'll love you, but He can't bless you. Have you ever said, God, I don't understand why you let this happen to me. I'm not in sin. I am paying my tithe. Yet things just don't seem to work out. My neighbor's living like the devil and being blessed. How come you're not blessing me? Does anybody know what I'm speaking about? Does that ever happen to you? Have you ever been in a place where you were doing everything you knew to do? You knew these are the right things. No matter how hard you tried, it just didn't seem to work. I'm speaking about the fact that when you're living for God, you're faithful in all the things that God's asked you to be faithful in. You come to the house of the Lord, you worship, you bring your tithe, you're committed to Him. You're not doing anything consciously wrong, but yet things didn't seem to work out. You're trusting God in a court case, but the judge believed your enemies instead of you. Have you ever been in a place where your enemies seemed to be winning, and the harder you tried, the worse it got? Yeah, that's called a crisis. And God excels in crisis. Hope turns a crisis into a turning point. And that's when you go back and you open the word of the Lord. Don't allow it to depart from your mouth, which means you need to keep confessing what God has said. Meditate in it day and night. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Do everything God told you to do and trust Him. And He says, you will make your way prosperous. You remember the story of Esau. He was the elder son in Isaac's house. He was firstborn and trusted with the family's inheritance. He was a hard-working young man, but through the deception of his own younger brother, or twin brother, Jacob, who came out after he did, he lost his inheritance. Esau was conned out of his birthright. And one day, everything is right, and the next day, the bottom falls out. Have you ever gone along in life and everything is beautiful, and it looks good, and it seems perfect, and the bottom falls out? It was just another day in paradise, and the winds kicked up, and a spark ignited, and the bottom fell out. And in 24 hours, our community was no more. Have you ever been in a place like that, in a spot like that? Esau was the son designated to receive the bulk of the family's inheritance, and though through underhanded dealings and trickery, he ends up with nothing. He ends up on the short end of the stick. Life was unfair. How many know life can be very unfair? And make no mistake, no one goes through this life without disappointment. No one goes through this life without unfairness coming your way in one fashion or another. And it's in these times of unfairness you find out what you truly believe. It's in the times of unfairness you discover in whom you believe, right? It's in the times of unfairness you find out just how strong your faith in the Lord is. Life is filled with disappointments. Life can be filled with sorrow. There's an appointed time for growth and an appointed time for leaves to fall. But with God, the death of one thing is merely the beginning of something else. God wants his plan to be enacted through the seasons of our lives. I remember sharing this with you some time back. And my wife, Donna, she shared this with me. She found a little more detail related to specific trees and what happens to them during forest fires. And it says, in environments where hot, fast-moving fires are frequent, some pine species have developed very thick, hard cones that are literally glued shut with strong resin. And these cones can hang on a pine tree for years, long after the enclosed seeds have matured. And only when a fire sweeps through, melting the resin, do these heat-dependent cones open up, releasing the seeds that are then distributed by the wind and gravity. So even through horribleness of fire and burning and trees on fire and everything falling apart, God still has a plan in place, even in nature, so that the replanting of those trees takes place out of those cones, that the fire has melted the resin off those cones so the seeds can be distributed and planted into the ground. Isn't that amazing? And there are also seeds like this. There are specific kinds of seeds that are also protected during a fire. The seeds of certain plants in fire-prone environments, they actually need fire directly or indirectly to germinate. These plants produce seeds with a tough coating that lay dormant, awaiting a fire for years. And whether it's the intense heat of the fire, exposure to chemicals from smoke, or the nutrients in the ground after the fire, these seeds depend on fire to break their dormancy. Isn't that incredible? So even though everything looks like it's over, it's the end, it's the worst possible scenario, yet God in his wisdom has always planned into the middle of a crisis a methodology by which there is multiplication and blessing that comes afterwards. Amen? That's the God we serve. So God says to Moses, you cannot enter in. You have to remain behind. And he dies there. And the word says the children of Israel began to cry. They were weeping and mourning because they'd lost their leader. And they were brokenhearted and disappointed. And no matter what dies in your life, you have to make up your mind. After grieving the loss, one must move forward. Your situation will change if you move forward. I don't know what you've lost. I don't know what disappointments you've experienced. But I do know if you leave behind those experiences and move forward, something then begins to change for the better in your life. But as long as you remain frozen in time, nothing is going to change in your life. It is you who has to make the decision to move forward and say, I'm going to move on from here. Because it's really a faith in God issue. It's saying, I trust you, You've still got a plan for me. I'm still here. You've got something for me to do. I have faith to move on. I have faith to cross this Jordan River. I have faith that God has something better or something new in my life. Say a new thing. So what do you do when you receive a bad report from your doctor? What do you do when you discover you're broken? You didn't know it. What do you do when you've lost everything in a day? And you're in shock. You've experienced trauma. Everything that you've accumulated in life that was in that dwelling or in that business, because businesses burn to the ground, about 90% of them in paradise as well. Job understood that. In one day, everything was gone. In one day, out of nowhere. So what do you do when you're given a pink slip? What do you do when life has crashed? And you're against the rocks, and you're broken in 1,000 pieces. What do you do when someone you love tells you don't love you anymore? What do you do when everything you believed in has failed you? What do you do when you are facing a crisis, and it looks like, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get through this? What do you do when you're in a storm, and it looks like you're going to go down for the last time? So no matter who we are, we will all go through our own Gethsemane. And there you're going to find a place to pray. What is a Gethsemane? It's the place where the crushing of the olives took place. The olive has to be crushed to bring out the sweet oil. And whether you like it or not, we are all going to have to go through these moments that are agonizing. We have to go to that place of crushing. We have to go to Gethsemane ourselves. No one can go in my place. I have to go myself. We all have to learn to trust God, not ourselves. We all have to learn to just lay it all down before Him and say, here I am. Do whatever it needs to be done, your will, not mine. I will allow you to crush so that the oil can come out. Amen? We all have to learn to walk by faith and not because of circumstance, not by the crisis that we're in, but by trust in the God that we serve. And folks, it's when we are in those moments of crushing that we learn now what it's all about in trusting and serving God, that all the peripheral other priorities that we thought were so important, that took so much away from the things that God wanted us to do, all of a sudden they fall into the background and out of focus, and the only thing that stays in focus is my relationship to the one and only one who can help me in this moment. You can blunt the pain when you move forward. And if you hear nothing else, hear this. As long as you hang back, as long as you remain back, as long as you keep living in the past and you don't do what God is asking you to do, what is He asking? To move forward. As long as you remain in the past, you remain in the pain. You'll still have memories of the past, but the pain will be gone if you've learned to move forward. Tell somebody, it's time to move forward. Tell them, it's time to move forward. Sometimes we have to move forward. Life is a series of leaving things behind. Amen? I was looking at this passage here a minute ago, and I'll read it to you in just a few seconds because I think it's very appropriate and important to pay attention to. Life is a series of leaving things behind and moving forward. There are things that wear out. Things that are no longer have their purpose and their value. Life does not remain the same. You know, you get angry because you think your spouse has changed. If you don't change, you're living in a rut. We all need to be changing. Life is a series of change. If it's a family member moving off to college, if it's friends that are moving to another location, a loved one who's passed on to go to be with the Lord. No one goes through this life without traveling, at times on a lonely road. But that's when you learn to trust the Lord with all your heart. So whatever's died in your life, you got to move forward. And that was the message to Joshua when Moses finished his course. If your finances have died, you have to move forward and rebuild. If the career has died, you have to move forward. If a relationship has died, well, cut that one loose and move forward. The word says that God's ways are higher than ours. And it seems as though God allows breaking in our lives before he takes us to where we need to be next. We have to be broken. It seems as though he allows storms to come into our lives before there is a breakthrough. That's why David named that place the place of God's breakthrough. It seems as though we go into a crisis before we see the daylight. And anytime devastation comes into your life, it's a sign that something's about to change. The death of one thing is a sign of the beginning of something new that God's bringing. So, because the devil has come to steal and to kill and to destroy, Jesus came to bring us life. Satan came to bring a crisis in order to crush you, destroy you, decimate you, get you to renounce your faith in God. Jesus came to pump life back into you. And make no mistake, it seems as though the enemy fights the hardest just before we receive our breakthrough. If you're in a crisis tonight, it means you're going somewhere with your life. When trouble comes, start looking up. Don't get angry with God. Just know somehow he'll work through this for your good. You'll sow in tears, but you're going to reap in joy. Let me remind you, you walk by faith, not by sight. And too many people, even in the church, they depend on their senses instead of depending on God's truth. You have to walk by faith. If you're going to walk with the Lord, you can't go by the negative stuff you see around you. But Pastor, I don't understand why this happened to me. Stuff happens all the time. Stuff happens I'll never understand. But the truth is, faith always faces unanswered questions and says, I'm still trusting God, even though I don't have the answer to this situation. Real faith in God will be tested. And it's not faith until it is tested. Faith will have to trust God in spite of what you see and your brain can't figure it out. We have to make up our minds, I will outlast this test. I will outlast this crisis. Say, I will outlast this crisis. Amen. If you're serving the Lord, you got to believe your steps are ordered by the Lord. If you're serving him, you don't have to like where you're walking, but you still believe that your steps are ordered by him. Because there's some places I don't like where he's taken me. I don't like that journey, but this is the way you've tracked my path. And so my steps are ordered. I will trust you. You can be going through life and everything's wonderful, but you know the bottom can fall out. You didn't plan it. You thought you had everything covered. Isn't that just like us? We try to secure everything and make sure there's no room for any losses and everything is going to be protected. And you're going through the day normally, and then the winds pick up and the spark is kindled. And within a few hours, it's life and death. And you did everything you knew to do. And when you don't know what to do, you have to go back to the word of the living God. And you have to stand on God's word. Amen? Even when it feels as though the rug has been pulled out from underneath you, you have to get your focus back on the Lord. And that's sometimes one of the things that happens in those moments. Growth happens when we're forced into a situation where we have to turn our attention fully to the Lord and trust him. Because we have all these other things we want to depend on. Well, I've got that covered, and I've got that covered, so I'm okay, and I'm good, and I can manage this. No, God will allow some of that stuff to be stripped away and a test to overwhelm you, so you've got nowhere to turn but to him, and that's the make or break pivot point in your life. And when you determine, I'm going to trust the Lord, I can't depend on anything or anybody but him, he's the one who's going to help you grow through this, develop strength through this, overcome this, and be victorious in whatever it is you're facing. Amen? You have to say, God, you're God all by yourself. You can handle me and everything else at the same time. I don't understand why I am where I am. Maybe the bottom has fallen out of my life, but I still believe you. I'm trusting my faith in you. I hold to this faith. I will not let go of the faith you planted in me. I will outlast this crisis. Amen. So if you're serving the Lord tonight, you got to believe he's working a plan for you because he has a purpose for you. And when something happens, when it looks like everything is collapsed that you've trusted in, you have to believe somehow God had all of that on his map for your life. It's all been on his radar. God has seen your circumstance and already planned the answer and already planned the solution, already took care of it long before you ever bumped into the crisis wall. When people are hospitalized, sometimes they're hooked up to a heart monitor. Anybody ever been there? And that was one of the first things they did to me. And they took me to the hospital. And it was monitoring everything. Everything's moving and beeping and hollering around me. The monitor shows the peaks and the valleys. And the lines go up and the lines go down. There's no danger as long as the lines keep going up and down, right? There's real danger when the line goes this way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if the line goes flat, that means you're dead. Okay? Now, you might not like living in the ups and downs of everyday life that you find yourself in. But the up and down motion says you're still in the game. You're still alive. You're still here. The devil said you're not going to make it. But look at you. You're still here. The peaks and the valleys, listen, they're saying something to you. It says, you've got another day to live for him. Make the most of it. David was a man after God's own heart. But God said, you know, David, I'll let you get all the funds together and the plans are all drawn up. I'm giving you for the temple, but I'm not going to let you physically build it. You got blood on your hands. And I'm not going to let you do that. Life can be disappointing. I'm sure his heart was heavy over that. He would have loved nothing better than to have finished the task that God laid before him. You think God's going to do something and he doesn't do it the way you thought he was going to do it. It can be disappointing. And you go, why in the world, God, did you let that? You've got to make up your mind. You will outlast the crisis because God's plan is always the better plan. It's always the best plan. It's better than any of ours. This too shall pass. Whatever it is, it will pass. However difficult, it will pass. Am I preaching right in here? Okay, everybody okay? Sometimes in this life, there are moments when all we can do is cry. The word says, Esau cried. The word says, David cried. Cried. The losses he was suffering. Job cried until he couldn't cry. He had no tears left. David had no tears left. His mighty men of valor had no tears left. They cried until there were no more tears. So no matter who we are, we have to continually trust the Lord with all our hearts because my fight is a fight of faith. And the enemy sent this crisis to destroy people. But we have an opportunity to show them the love of Jesus so that we, in standing on the word in turn, will help them to learn to stand on the word of the living God. It's our opportunity to fight the good fight of faith and to show people what strength in God looks like. When we work together as the body of Christ, that crisis becomes a turning point for people who know, now I will trust the Lord. Now I will trust the Lord. I want that testimony some Sunday night to be shared that we talked about earlier today. That's a miracle of testimony that like you've never heard before in the middle of that fire. Incredible. Just because I love the Lord doesn't mean I'm not tested. Just because I love the Lord doesn't mean unfair things don't happen to me. Injustices come our way. But in those times of injustice, we learn to look to God, not to just human understanding. And what we want to do as an example is show people when we turn to God and we work together with our resources, we can get through anything together. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. Every storm we go through is a test to see what we believe. Some people stay up all night and they worry about their problems. They struggle through the night to sleep. Some people can't rest because something has not come together just the way they wanted it. I read somewhere that the Lord is my keeper and he never slumbers and he never sleeps. Isn't that an amazing thing about our God? He never slumbers and he never sleeps. And I wanted to tell Cheryl, who's not here tonight, who sits right back there by where the Mitchells are, I think right kind of in front of you. I don't see her here tonight. Didn't hear see you this morning either. We've got to follow up on her, find out what happened, if she's okay. She is the daughter, granddaughter of the infamous C.M. Ward. And I'll never forget when he told the story and he quoted the passage that we serve the God who never slumbers and never sleeps. And say, who's C.M. Ward? C.M. Ward's the greatest radio preacher you had ever heard in your life. He's an amazing man of God. And he was the voice of Revival Time, the voice of our fellowship. Literally, not on our own religious channel. He was on the ABC network every Sunday night live. I mean, coast to coast. It was an amazing individual. She's his granddaughter. And I wanted to tell her tonight, your grandpa made me to understand something when he said this. Since God never sleeps, there's no need for both of us to stay up all night and be worried about it. So I think I'll just go to bed and put it in his hands because he's going to deal with it and let me go to sleep. So that's what I learned from C.M. Ward. He who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. So I've made up my mind to put my hand in his. No matter what I'm facing, I've got my hand in his hand. My hand is not enough. But when I put my hand in his hand, I've got some strength now in my life. So if you want to know who God is getting ready to use, look for somebody who's in the middle of a crisis. If you want to know who God's getting ready to bless, look for somebody who's in the middle of a problem. Because I believe out of all the tragedy that we've been witnesses to in the last week or so, we are about to see a huge move of the Holy Spirit and an amazing renewal in the hearts of people and a move of God that will begin up here in Northern California in a way that will sweep through this state and across this nation. God's not going to waste this opportunity to bring people to himself. If you want to know who God is getting ready to use, look for somebody who's had the rug pulled out from under them. Watch what'll happen. When it looks like everything's lost, find that person. Can I feel this tonight? I don't know what you're facing, but if God be for me, who can be against me? So the enemy sends the crisis to steal your peace. But as long as you hold on to peace, you're going to outlast that crisis. Hang on to your peace of mind. Trust in the Lord. Draw closer to him when everything has fallen apart. If I draw near unto him, he will draw near unto me. So when I call upon him, he will answer me. All he's waiting for, and people are starting to do it all over our region in Northern California, they're doing what I'm quoting to you. They're starting to call on the name of the Lord because guess what? They've got nowhere else to call. And no one else to talk to. So when trouble comes, the tendency in some hearts is to step away from God, to get bitter over what's happened, and that's a problem. We don't want to step away from God, nor get angry with God, or say, what good is there in this that's happened? Make up your mind, this situation I'm facing is going to turn me in a direction that'll bring the blessing of the Lord. God says, I know you've had some crisis, and I know it's okay for you to cry and to shed tears over loss. It's okay because you're brokenhearted and you're disappointed. It's okay to cry because someone you loved is gone. It's okay to cry because you lost everything. But God said it to Israel, and he's saying it to us. He said to Israel, okay, you've had a month. You've been weeping. You've been crying continuously every day. For 30 days, you have wept, you have cried, you have mourned Moses' passing. Now it's time to dry your tears. Get up from where you are. You cannot drop out of life. You've got a mission to fulfill. Moses died. The people were grieving. God said, it's time to stop your mourning. I'm taking you now to the place of promise. God was with Moses. He's going to be with you. God was with Moses. He's going to be with me. Say it with me. God was with Moses. He will be with me. That's the God I serve. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So if you're going through a dark time in life, get the word inside of you. Stand on the word. The word is mighty. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. The word will stand forever. The grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. No fire can burn it. No storm can knock it over. It will, when it's all done, it will still be standing. People come and go, but God's word stands forever. Finances come and go. God's word stands forever. Relationships break down, but God's word stands forever. Thank the Lord. Amen. God's good. Moses died. The people were grieving. But God begins to speak to Joshua now about the future of Israel. See, God doesn't want us bogged down in the past. He doesn't want us to dwell on the things that we've lost. He wants us to go ahead, say, okay, I've got something new for you. Say, new plans. God wants you to know that no matter the losses and the difficulties, he's what you need as your source. He's got everything you need in front of you. Then people think that their whole life is over now because the material things that they once held are no longer in their hands. God's got sources they don't know about. He's got resources. Listen, there's no shortage with God. He's got the ability to replace and restore that and on top of it even more. God began to speak to Joshua about we need to go over the Jordan. And if something has died in your life, start making some plans because God's got something fresh for you. Start believing God. You're going to cross over now into the promises. And God will take you to the right people at the right time with the right opportunities to see to it that all that you lost will be restored because I serve a God whose name is Restorer. Amen. Restorer. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. Here's the call of God to people in crisis. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day, I will repay two blessings for each one of your troubles. That's a powerful truth. It's found in Zechariah 9 and 12. Let me read that to you again. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. Because they were upside down in life. Life had put them in boxes and they were no longer looked at as even viable human beings. I promise this very day, I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. Do you have hope? Is your hope in the Lord? Is it the anchor of your soul? By his stripes I am healed. The condition of my body is going to improve. I'm going to get better nutrition, better rest, proper exercise, good medical care. I'll do everything I know to do, but then I will proclaim with my mouth because of faith, by his stripes I am healed. By faith in God, I proclaim I will be out of debt because I'm putting God first. He will open the windows of heaven in my life. I'm coming out of this and I'm crossing over to freedom. There's the promise. I promise this day I will repay two blessings for all your troubles when you put your hope in me. Everything you're facing right now is preparing you for the promises of God. What happened in the wilderness? God says, it's already yours. And I've already made it yours. If your life is broken, just know that some psychic can't fix it. The shrink might have an answer or two about something in your past, but certainly not going to be able to fix you. You need to go to the same one who made you, the original architect of your life, and say, God, you can fix it. Because you made me, you can fix me. What do you do when everything in your life gets turned upside down? What do you do? when you're going along in life and you got it all figured out, and then you hit the wall. What do you do when the lights go out and there's nothing but darkness around you and you're in pain? You have to make up your mind, this trouble you're in is a pivot to turn you now to the destiny God has for you. Someone put it like this: pain is your friend. Now, no, none of us normally embrace that. We like to run away from it. But pain is your friend. Pain is your ally. Pain tells you when you've been wounded badly, but that you know that the best thing about pain is this: it tells you you're not dead yet. As long as you're still breathing, you got hope. Amen? Hope turns a crisis into a turning point. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. That's a powerful passage in Hebrews 6. And when it's dark and everything seems like the lights have gone out and you can't see a foot in front of you, figuratively, I don't know where to put my next step, your word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path, which means I just need to put one step out in front of me in faith, and he'll light the path, make sure I stay on track in the bleakest of darkest moments. When I can't see down the road, I can't see around the bend, I can't even see that there is one. But here's what I can see: what your word teaches me. To walk in the light of your word. And you'll take me one step at a time down the path I need to go, learning while I'm walking like this. I can't depend on myself. I have to depend on you. There was a circus performer who had trained his tigers for a number of years. He was a showstopper, an incredible trainer of these creatures that have streaks of wildness in them, very dangerous, because at a moment's notice they can pounce. This circus performer who had trained these tigers for years was out on the road during the summer performances, and one night while in the middle of the circus performance, all the lights under the big top went out. They must have been in California, PG&E had to be their power source. Okay. Yeah. It's pitch black. He's in the middle of a performance and he's inside the cage with a dozen tigers. He can't see anything. It's so dark, he has no knowledge now of where their positions are. And he does know this because he's worked with these animals for decades. They've got night vision. They can see him in the dark. They have the capability, unlike us, of seeing very well in total blackness. After about just 30 seconds or so, when the generator kicked in and everything came back, power is restored, he and the tigers finished their performance. And when the evening was over, there was a reporter who had come to cover the circus being in town. And the reporter got a hold of the star of the show, so to speak, the showstopper, and said, "Sir, when the lights went out for 30 seconds, that doesn't seem like a long time, but it's an eternity when you're in a cage with 12 tigers. And it's pitch black, and they know where you are, but you don't know where they are. Were you frightened?" He said, "Yes, I was frightened, because I knew the tigers could see me, but I didn't know for sure exactly where they were. So I kept speaking to them in the darkness with the same authority with which I trained them, and I kept cracking the whip that I had in my hand." He said, "I made up my mind to crack the whip and speak with authority to those tigers because they did not know I could not see them." So, people of the Lord, we can speak with authority and we can tell the devil we've got the sword of the Spirit even when we don't. Listen to me. We can take him down. We can still say, "Cracking that whip in the name of Jesus. I may be in a crisis tonight, but I'm coming out of this thing unscathed like Daniel in the lion's den. God is on my side and it doesn't matter. No matter who's against me, if God be for me, I will outlast this crisis." Paul's on a ship on his way to Rome. This morning I told you they went through a hurricane that kept them swirling all over those ocean waves for days. Finally, the ship breaks into 1,000 pieces. The word says that Paul jumped on some of the debris and used it to sustain himself as they and the crew all made it back to shore. In the middle of your storm, even when the ship is broken into pieces in your life, just reach over beside you. There's a piece of wood floating nearby you. It's an old rugged cross, and I'll cling to it. And if you'll grab hold of that old rugged cross, no matter what's happening in your life, you're going to make it safely to shore. It will sustain you, and you'll find a safe place in the middle of your trial. You don't have to know how it's all going to end. And 99.9 tenths of the time, he's not going to tell you how it's going to end. Because it's all about, do you trust me? Will you depend on me? Now, he'll give you a word of encouragement and confidence in the middle of your test. And I'm grateful when those moments happen, when he brings you a confirmation, when he plants something into your spirit. You don't know for sure how the details are going to track. We've got zero control over those. Only he can put those pieces of the puzzle together. You don't know how it's going to end. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all because he knows the end from the beginning, but we have to trust him so we can outlast the crisis. You put your hand in his. He hung the world on nothing. And it's still flying through the vastness of this universe on nothing but his word. And that same God who sustains this planet by his word will sustain you. And you will get into your promised land. You're a giant killer when Jesus is by your side. You're more than a conqueror. He said, "No weapon the enemy's forged against you shall prosper." Even though the rug has been pulled out from under you, what you thought was familiar has been burned to the ground. You don't even have a toothbrush to pick up because even that's gone from your familiarity in life. The bottom is gone. Everything is out. Make up your mind. Your crisis is your turning point. And it won't be long. You'll look back and you'll be amazed. Look what the Lord has done. I got here with only the help of the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, the psalmist said, we would have been chewed up and spit out by our adversaries. But the God who made the heavens and the earth has sustained us. If it had not been for the Lord on my side. There's tremendous pain in going through these circumstances. We feel it emotionally, mentally, physically sometimes. You hold on for a while to that grief and that pain and let it process. Then make up your mind, okay? Now I'm going to move forward to what God wants me to do with the rest of my life. It's not easy. It means change. But every time God nudges us forward, it's better. Get involved in a ministry. Get involved in serving others. Someone told me the other day, I said, so why are you serving and why are you doing all this when you've got some things in the fire that's just crazy right now in your life? And here's what he said to me. He said, I'm doing what I'm doing to help all these folk because the more I throw myself into helping others, the less I think about my own circumstance. The more I'm helping others find relief, the more I'm able to share what God has done in my life, the more I'm able to tell them of the love of the Lord by demonstration and by word when I get a moment to talk to them about faith in God, the more confident I am that God's going to see me through this. And in fact, here's the way it's tracked in my life. Whenever I've been in a mess and it's hurt and it's painful, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, because every time I've done that, instead of just sitting there and licking my wounds, I go help somebody else. God always has delivered me out of my trouble when I have taken the time to serve others who are in trouble. And then when he was saying that, I remember going back in my mind to the last chapter in the book of Job. And I remember what God wrote there by his Holy Spirit. And God turned the test of Job when he prayed for his friends. Friends. These were not nice people to him. When he was in pain, they came and hurt him. But when Job went and prayed the blessing of God on those who had harmed him, see what I'm saying? God released him from his test and gave him double everything he lost. It's an amazing story. So you make up your mind, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to get my hands in the middle of this. I'm going to serve God with more faithfulness than I did when everything was going well. Because I need him to help me one day. So I'm going to help others right now who need him too. And I think that would be good for all of us to do tonight, to learn to help one another and to learn to help others around us that are going through struggle during this week when we're going to stop to give thanks. To remember when we're in trouble to help somebody else who's in. Well, that doesn't sound logical, Pastor. No, it's not. Because when we're in pain, the old nature says, go crawl in a corner and feel sorry for yourself and hope and pray that one day the pain will leave. And God says, you come out of the corner and you start serving me and trusting me and declaring your confidence in me. Because the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And I can still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I know that my Redeemer lives, and no matter what I'm facing, I still trust him. And even if he takes my life, I still trust him because I know I serve a good God. And now I'm going to go pray for these rascals who made my life a little bit more painful. God blessed Job more at the end of his life than at the beginning. So the lesson is, in the crisis, the hope you've placed in God will take that and turn it for your benefit. Out of it will come good.